prince is Erasmus. I am sitting here in my great golden palace, looking over all this scorched earth. Why the humans do this to themselves, I will never know. But all I will say is this. But Mary Jihad has been squashed.
This is Xavier Elkonen. I am ready to take my choice, liberate human beings, and finally squash the machine.
Butlerians unite! This is Varian Atreides! We are ready to finally join forces and take the might of the human race back to where it should be. The head of this amazing universe.
Secret report from the guild. The vault has the spice. The spice must flow. You must listen to the Mullet Guild.
Welcome to the Mullet Guild, a special look at Dune from Phantom Podcast Network's The Lethal Mullet. Find all about the Dune universe here on this podcast. This podcast is for people that have never read Dune and are going into the movie in December 18 this year. Find out all about the world, the planet Arrakis, the different schools, the Swordmasters, the Mentats, the Bene Gesserit, and of course the Navigators. Find out about the medical Sook doctors. Find out about the Atreides, House Carino, and House Harkonnen. All here on Fandom Podcast Network's The Mullet Guild, hosted by the Lethal Mullet.
G'day mate, how you going? This is the Lethal Mullet, live from Quinlan's Canteen in the Gold Coast of Australia for the Mullet Guild. That's right, where we chat Dune, Frank Herbert's amazing franchise, and celebrate all that there is to be on that franchise itself. So, welcome back to the show. We've had a week's grace last week when I unfortunately had just too much work to do, folks. That's right. Otherwise, you would have had an episode. This episode. On tonight's episode, we're looking at the second novel in the Legend series as we go through the chronological order of Dune. We're going to be looking at The Machine Crusade. Now, this is a pretty damn good novel. I really enjoyed it. A lot of people in the Dune fandom only enjoy Frank's work, but there's also a lot that love Brian Herbert's and, of course, Kevin J. Anderson's run too. It's a pretty big damn series. This is the foundation of where all goes to pot. That's right. The machines, these things that the humans put together, made to make life easier, take over. That's right. They take over and they enslave humanity to themselves. So, again, a story that's probably been done 1,000 times since, with Terminator, Matrix, many other science fiction franchises. We've had it. It's out there. But this time, obviously, it was done a lot earlier by Frank. Or at least the skeleton of that was there. Who knows? Frank, I think, would have done these novels at some point down the line. Because they're such a big part of what is Dune. It's the whole idea that you can, you know, really change the human body itself. In this case, the brain. The brain's a computer. And you could enhance it to a certain amount to compute some amazing data as the Mentats and many other things. And all that is Dune. So tonight we're going to be looking at that novel. We're also going to be looking at some other stuff with Dune. And that is, of course, looking at the movie, whether it's going to be moved. Some friends of, ours on the Dune fandom have talked about this. You know, the possibility that it might be in 2021. Is this a good thing? Probably, when it comes to how much of this money this movie will make. Because there's only certain countries that are allowing cinemas to be open in this time where COVID's in a bit of a second wave in most places, particularly here in Australia, in Victoria, and now New South Wales. Even though the borders are closed in those states, there's still people slipping over the border and getting themselves in a bit of hot water. Not a lot of them getting tested. Not a good thing, of course. So, maybe it is a good thing, but we'll talk about that very, very soon. But before we do, We're going to let you know how you can catch this show, how you can find the network, and of course, how you can find me, the Lethal Mullet, or the Mullet Guild.
The number you have dialed has been changed. The new number is...
G'day, my name's Gowan. Follow the Lethal Mullet here on Fandom Podcast Network's master channel at fbnet.podbean.com or subscribe on the Podbean app where you can find all the shows. Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast. Culture Clash, a weekly look at pop culture. New look at Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast. You can also check out The Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe from me, the Lethal Mullet. You can also check out this show and all the others like What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, and much, much more. All on FPN. You can follow on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all podcatchers. Make sure you follow me, the Lethal Mullet, at The Lethal Mullet on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Mullet Deep. What spicy news do you have for us here at Siege Quinlan?
Nice! All the way from Siege Quinlan, well, I tell you what, I've got some news for you. All the way from Arakeen.
All right, folks, here we go. We're going to look at, of course, some news when it comes to Dune. The big news is, of course, Kevin J. Anderson and Brian Herbert have a new novel coming out as a prospective trilogy of books, which will look at the immediate prequel era of course, Duke Leto. And, of course, the young family has, of course, Paul Atreides and, of course, Lady Jessica. And it's going to be basically set in almost immediately just before Dune. So you get a sense of what's happening, I suppose, as the movie comes out. And it's truly amazing. Like, it's something we've kind of had, obviously, with the House trilogy, which was much younger part of Duke Leto's era. But we're talking about Duke Leto, the, you know, who's just this amazing character. Who I've always, I think, especially growing up reading the House trilogy, in my 20s. The House trilogy grabbed me because I was at that age, at the same age as Leto and what he was facing. So I think going into, obviously, now this is an era where Leto is probably in his late 30s, early 40s. And it's at a time, obviously, as we lead into that, what he was facing, how he became Leto the Just, as the other houses put it, how he was facing some of the threats from other rivals, obviously, what was coming up with the War of Assassins that we see in some of the other books, and obviously we know through the history, how he's relating to, obviously, his subordinates, Thuva Hawat, Gurney Halleck, Duncan Idaho, his relationship with Lady Jessica, and, of course, just how he was going with, obviously, the vendetta against the Harkonnen, Baron Vladimir Harkonnen. So, there's some really interesting stuff, and I think the intrigue is what really drives that. I mean, it still does. You read, obviously, the House trilogy, which is arguably the strongest of Kevin and Brian's work, outside Frank's writing, obviously, is really interesting because that period is, you know, just the blood starting to boil as we get these little plots going. Plots within plots, the wheels within. The wheels are turning, and things are starting to get to that chaotic point. So that's what makes, obviously, Dune always great. And, you know, I think that's what we're going to see here when it comes to making that really get out there too. Now, it's interesting. We've had a real look at what could be when it comes to Dune. But a dear friend at Secrets of Dune posed a bit of a question with a video that he put out recently. And it was, you know, has COVID killed Dune? And you kind of think about, well, not even just from that point, but just at the state of cinema itself, you know? And I think it's an interesting point that he brought up. But also, you look at cinema in general, all right? So cinema, obviously, we're at a point where, obviously, you have to be, you know, take care of yourself. You have to also, you know, be very aware that, you know, you're protecting others as well when it comes to you know, social distancing, making sure when you do go to the cinema and stuff like that, that you're giving enough space for that too. Obviously, out here in Australia, we have 1.5 meters between each person. We're in a shopping center, obviously a cinema environment. I do believe it was only about 20 people that are allowed in each area of the cinema, in each group of the sittings, especially in those larger areas. So it's a very interesting point. You know, is this worth us taking the chance that, particularly when it comes to Dune, you know, we're at a time where this film's going to be epic as it is. It's going to be massive, but it needs to make a certain amount of money to be successful. So that's a very interesting point. But getting past that, what's really building up to that is now we're getting, obviously, the literature starting to come through. This weekend with, obviously, Comic-Con on, we're going to find out more, and we'll talk about some of the things that come through from the publishing stuff that they're going to be talking about there with Kevin and Brian's work coming out very, very soon. And some of that, obviously, is the graphic novels, which we've got the adaptation of Dune. And now, which is really interesting, the artwork I've actually found interesting for both is for House Atreides as well. So having House Atreides adapted, now this is the first one that I got in hardcover of all the Dune books. I was able to find this amazing copy at an American Book Exchange in Brisbane, which is, I don't know if it's still there anymore, but it was huge. This is one of those massive bookstores where there's so many aisles high that you need a massive stepladder, you know, to go around and get to the top of these ones. And this was the edition that you can't get in Australia. This is the, I believe, the American tour printing of that book, or at least that version of. And I was able to get those ones also in the UK print, which is what we get out here in Australia from the regular publisher, Hodder and Stoughton. And when you look at those different ones, it was great because House is the one that I was able to, when I met Kevin J. Anderson for the first time, back in, must be 2007, I think. It's that far back now. Been a friend with his online for a little while, but to meet him himself and obviously Rebecca, Mr. Anderson as well, is great because at the time when, really, I was getting into all fandoms at the time, but Dune, I was really just head over heels on when it came to getting into the original series and obviously getting onto these new works as well. But obviously, yeah, meeting Kevin, sitting down at one of his writing seminars, and also just getting the book signed. So it's got a special place in my heart when it comes to House Atreides. But also the story, you know, it really kicks off the adventure when we have that opening, of course, of the Baron himself going out on a hunt. So it's great. And the intrigue's there, the action's there, and of course, Arrakis is ever present. So, at the interesting time, we've got the Duke of Caladan being the first of these books comes out, and then they're looking at other areas as well, which we'll find out more this weekend, but also with the graphic novels as well. We've got, obviously, the RPG on the way. If you out there, listeners, have gone on to find out about the beta version of that game and are trying out, let us know. You know, drop a line here at the show. Let us know what you think of it. If it's... obviously, you can't review it, you can't lingo, but are you enjoying doing some Dune RPGing? That's a fun thing to do. Dune is a fantastic setting when it comes to, whether it's the board game, or just being able to do the computer games. We're the same too. Again, it's getting that atmosphere of being in the moment in that that fantastic setting of Dune itself. So you've got to love it, folks. It is an amazing city. Rightio.
Time to go down to the pub. Have myself a spice beer. Like a Pilsner. Pilsner's pretty good. Could be a little bit of, you know, pale ale. Bit of pale spice ale. It's good stuff too, mate. Let's get into it.
Alright, folks, so here we go. Dune, The Machine Crusade. Came out in 2003. Of course, it's written, of course, by Frank's son, Brian, and, of course, Kevin J. Anderson as well. This is set around about 10,000 years before the events of the original novel, which would make it about 10,000 years from our own time as well. This is, of course, about the Butlerian Jihad and, of course, the Crusade to free the last of the free humans against the thinking machines. They're very violent and, of course, war-packed period. A dominating period where the sentient computer Omnius had total control over all living beings. Now, this is a great novel. This is obviously the second part in the Legends of Dune era. And in some ways, you know, when I first read it, I got a sense of this, I think, Terminator-like, spider-like, if you like, visually, at least, in my mind, of what the Titans were in this. And, of course, Omnius and Erasmus and the rest of the group, Agamemnon, of course, as well. And then, of course, we get the three heroes of this series that really grew on. Of course, Xavier, Harkonnen, Vorian Atreides, and, of course, the Butlers. And, again, it's quite heavy when it comes to freeing from slavery and stuff like that, too. And the fact that Vorian, you know, has obviously come from the other side. So he's come from, you know, this almost immortal life given to him by the Titan Agamemnon. And, you know, he's at a time where he wants to settle down and get away from all the strife and stuff like that in between it. And he goes and visits Caladan in this one. And he obviously meets Lironica in this. And the end becomes his long-term love. Xavier, and this is also somebody that has become a real hero. It's interesting to see the Harkonnen way in this one in particular start to really not only become such a great character, but one that I think shows the Harkonnens in a different light to start with. And we get to see him free Ix from the actual hold of the machines. And also he will sacrifice his himself in the name of the Harkonnen people too in this. So it's an interesting spin. We've always seen the Harkonnens in a different light. This is what's great about what Brian and Kevin have done, not only in this novel and others, but we get to really see that, you know, the fight against the thinking machines give us these new characters, but also go back to the time where the Harkonnens and the Atreides joined forces, really. And, you know, there's been struggles all the way through, even before the feud began. Erasmus as well, too. Very interesting character because, you know, he sort of, I think, divorces himself from the place that he's at, if you like. And obviously he has a lot of curiosity when it comes to humans and how he's obviously experimenting on them and stuff like that, too. And, of course, Omnius being an anti on Corrin in this, and this leads into, obviously, the next book, which we'll be talking about in the next episode, which is called The Battle of Corrin. And basically he, you know, he can raise humanity to be, civil and to be, you know, the way forward, basically becoming, man and machine together in some ways. And of course, in this, we have, the child that he's going to be guiding through. This is of course, Gilbertus Elbans, which will be the first true and first only of the computing humans, if you like, the Mentats. So, it's interesting, we're starting to see some of what will come from that to become the first of the real schools of Dune. And that's what's great about this series. That was what it was, you know, obviously designed by Kevin and Brian to be, is to take some of those strands of what Frank had laid out and really bring about what's going to be the start of and the reason for a lot of those, which is just brilliant. And we'll see many of these things as it moves forward. Of course, one of the big saviors of this series, and in particular this book, is Onginaz the Swordmasters. So we have characters like Zon Norret being killed in a training accident here with a mech. Now, here's the interesting part of this is that if you've watched the David Lynch adaptation of Dune, you can kind of pretty much see a mech at the start there that's attacking Paul. So it's got all the devices on it and in some ways, this is more aligned with the Swordmasters themselves, what Duncan Idaho would have been teaching him. And so, obviously, Norret dies in the process, but what's great about this, too, the Ginaz Swordmasters are kind of like, in some ways, you know, military for hire or mercenaries in this. and they stay on to, you know, train the rest of them there to fight against the Thing Machines. And these are kind of like your Green Beret, if you like, when it comes to fighting the Thinking Machines. They become part of the bigger end of the Force too. Attacking the Omnius and the rest of them. And that's always an interesting portion of where you're going to take the story. I really enjoyed a lot of that. And it's kind of like, I think, not just, Swordmaster style of following Renaissance style fighting or medieval style swordplay. There's a real samurai, if you like, or a real martial arts atmosphere to what they're doing, you know, philosophy, all that sort of stuff. And not to forget, we also have, obviously, the future of what will be the Spacing Guild with Norma Senva, who basically avoids being part of the slave uprising itself and unaware what she's really doing. She comes through and is the first to fire a laser into a Holtzman personal shield. So obviously the shield technology is such a huge advancement, but for a laser gun to shoot into one of those shields, the explosion destroys one of the labs that they're part too. Eventually crushes the slave revolt that's there too. So Norma's interesting because obviously she's part of, she's the daughter of the sorceress of Rossak, Zufa Senva. And obviously, under all of that, she has her abilities finally come to fore. And part of that is the vision of what will become the Spacing Guild itself. So things like, obviously, the future of these massive, huge, long ships, which will not only transport humans, but obviously all the supply lines and stuff like that, all worlds, as they fold space and safely to find travel to the right parts too. And that's, again, part of the next exploration of what will become the, obviously, next part of Dune, which is the guilds and obviously all the different schools of Dune. And two, we also have on Porotron the small amount of Zen Sunni. So that's obviously, Zen Sunni is a mix of Buddhism and Islam, Islamic religions pulled together, which will also form the cornerstone of what will become the Fremen. So it's interesting because there's always bringing those two elements together. And obviously there's that corner of, being part of two cultures coming together to make another culture as well, which is obviously so rich on both sides too. So they take the first space folding ship, these free slaves, and go out to Arrakis. And of course, they become the Free Men. So it's really interesting. Again, too, this is a bridging work, but I think out of the three books, The Machine Crusade was one of the most fast-paced when it came to, I think I sat through, at the time I was reading this, was doing a commercial design degree in Brisbane, and, many times being on the train to and from work, to and from study as well, was reading this book and really getting to the cornerstone of what was an amazing story. I really enjoyed it, no doubt this did quite well. Well, the New York Times bestseller list debuted at number 7. So, these were huge. Like, people were really keen for more Dune at the time, and that's what makes it so good when you come down to it, just how well put out. On, Goodreads, it goes out at 3.8 out of 5, most readers that have read it. Quite interesting. And obviously, this is too part of something that was going to obviously continue into the Battle of Corrin, where we get the story basically of the vendetta finally. What actually kept this going, and between the Harkonnen and the Atreides as well, the cowardice of the Harkonnen and how it really started. So it's an interesting story. This one, obviously, like many middle chapters in trilogies, really just kept the fires burning. You know, it gave us more chaos, but at the same time gave us a lot of more character movement too, between particularly Xavier and Vorian. Two characters, I think, is just as rich as what you got in Frank's books. And even from the machine side too, Erasmus becoming this almost fatherly element to the story too. So, you know, just brilliant. Machine Crusade itself came out in a hardcover format out here in Australia and also in paperback, in those larger versions by Hodder and Sorten. And I think too, if you get I think it's the American edition that was released by Tor, I think it was. That is quite a beautiful book. But of course, now you can release the release that came out recently through Amazon here in Australia, which is, of course, with the beautiful new covers. You can see that on the pod art that I'm putting out with this episode. Well worth getting a new edition of these and reading through. I'm currently going to be doing that as I'm reading through. I'm still going through Navigators of Dune again too. And, you know, really getting the cornerstone of where this came from. Prequels are great because we really get a chance to see the context of where things came from and why they were put in there too. So, mate, this is definitely a 4 out of 5 on the Hallenbeck scale.
It is noted in each of the teachings of Mentor that there must be appendices for you to learn more about the world in which you live.
Well, that's great. You're going to teach me some new stuff, are you, fella?
There is much to be learned here, so listen carefully and learn all that is to be learned.
Alright, my prospective mentats. Here we're going to be talking about today the Orange Catholic Bible, or the OCB. Now, this is obviously something that is prevalent in the original novel, as it's a gift given to Paul, as well as one that's mentioned a number of times. It's also put out as known as the Zen Christian Navakoran, or the Accumulated Book, or also the Koran Jnana Zen Christian Scriptures. And of course, it's one of the most important when it comes to the actual words of the ways of Dune. When it comes to the religious beliefs of many, and obviously too, this is a fusion of a lot of different religions that came before it too, and religious thoughts in the time of obviously Dune itself, 20,000 years into our future. Obviously, it has Mahayana Christianity as part of it, Zen Sunni Catholicism, and Buddhist Islamic traditions as well as part of its foundation. And, you know, there's many different things. Some of the quotes you can find in there, too, will obviously be centered around multiple religions and stuff like that, too. In the series, we get Gurney Halleck and Wellington Yui talking about it, too. There's many different passages that talked about in it, too. And how it comes together is obviously part and parcel of what that is. Some of it, you can find details in the Dune Encyclopedia on what, how it all came to. And the Orange itself, when it comes to why they're calling it the Orange Catholic Bible, and it is to do with the etymological corruption part of the designation that Corangiana, using the first two syllables, they're dropping off the first consonant. So it becomes the Orange. Could also mean part of what they say is the Orange Institution, which was a Protestant Christian movement at the time of the Roman Catholic Church, making it Orange Catholic. And this becomes also an oxymoron. You can find that on the Dune Wiki. That's a quote from their page there too. Obviously, it is prevalent more in the first 6 Dune novels, all written by Frank. And, of course, it's something that is quoted a lot through the series, too. Obviously, too. This is, a cornerstone of, at that time, what humanity was using as a source of faith and what would give them moral compass, all that sort of stuff, too. And, of course, maybe this is one of those things where they were looking at a time where that is the new version of the King James Bible. But at the end of the day, it also shows that even people in the future look to God for wisdom. They look to the heavens and hope. Straight up hope. That's all we have time for here tonight on The Mullet Guild, brought to you by Fandom Podcast Network's The Lethal Mullet Podcast, brought to you live by C.H. Quinlan. And we'll be back with more spicy news and spicy details from Frank Herbert's Dune Universe all here on Thursdays on, of course, the Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to check it out at the master feed of fbnet.podbean.com or your podcatcher of choice. Check it out and also follow us at The Lethal Mullet on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for more news, more awesomeness, and more pop culture for you, the listener of the show. And we'll catch you next week. Until then, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And make sure you check out the trailer soon of Dune. We'll catch you next time here on the Mullet Guild.
All voices on this podcast were from a mentor order. No worms were harmed in the production of this podcast.